This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever been trying to sleep and your thoughts just won't let you? Like they won't just shut up? Cognitively, you know sleep is good for you and you know you need it in order to feel better, but you just can't do it. Therapy could be just the thing to help you figure out what's making your brain fight against you. Personally, I love therapy. It's helped me put an end to a few unhealthy learned behaviors I was exhibiting. If you are considering therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online, so it can easily accommodate your schedule. Just complete a quick questionnaire to be matched with a licensed therapist in no time. If you don't love your therapist for any reason, you can grab a new one at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BPLP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/BPLP. Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where we dive into the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help Black people feel seen. Please feel free to donate to the show at the link in the show notes. And please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only because we are 5-star bitches or Dio Gotti. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of the things. If you really like the show, join the Patreon. Patreon family is patreon.com/blackpeopleloveparamore for bonus content. I'm your host, Sequoia. And today, joining me to talk about Golden Girls, we have a very special guest. He's a comedian, a TV writer, and host of the podcast, not just like any podcast, but the podcast, The Read, Kid Fury. Thank you so much for joining, Kid Fury.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. Like, if you would have been like, you have to pay me to come on your show, I'd have been like, yeah, I'll do that. Like, whatever you need me to do, I got you.
Please.
For sure.
No,
so excited to have you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything you want to tell the folks. Like, if you have something specific that you want to say before we jump.
Oh, no, I'm not. Okay. I'm working on stuff, but I'm not here to promote anything in particular. Just having fun.
All right. Sounds good.
Before, if I think it's, I'm not let you know.
For sure. Great. Okay. Before we get into talking about Golden Girls, we have In My Defense. In My Defense is our segment where we bring one of our unpopular opinions and defend it for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I have one this week. I don't always have one.
Okay.
But I do have one this week. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay.
Set me off.
On the drive here, I realized blinkers are not always necessary. It's not a requirement. And maybe that's because I'm from here, but if I'm trying to get over, I don't really need to let you know that all of the time. Sometimes, but not all the time.
Okay. Okay.
Because let me tell you something. They will try to stop you from getting over. If I let you know I'm trying to get over, now you're trying to get in the way.
That's true.
And that'll piss me off.
That is true. There are a lot of petty drivers that simply react to that blinker by being
speeding
like,
up.
That is weird.
Why would you do that?
Okay, I see where you're coming
Grow
from.
Grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was not bad. It wasn't that bad, right?
Yeah,
yeah, like, okay.
That agrees.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they be egregious, so.
Yeah, I brought one with me. I don't mind who this offends. In-N-Out, not that great.
Whoa! I'm sick.
In-N-Out.
I'm sick.
Is not that great.
Wow, so high.
I think that y'all have hyped In-N-Out to a place that is really unfathomable. It's a fine burger. It's not bad by any means. And I think that if you're comparing it to like, if you're from like some, like you are transient from like some flyover state or someplace where all you had is McDonald's
yes,
or Burger King or whatever,
certainly,
and you compare it to In-N-Out, then it's probably going to blow your mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But just like as a bitch that eats burgers, mm-hmm, like on the reg at home and out, it's fine.
Okay.
It is fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I'm like,
what burger do you prefer? Like, what's like a fast food burger? You're like, that one trumps it for sure.
I honestly can't think of a fast food burger right now that like I go up for.
Like, you're not like a Five Guys type of person.
You know, Five Guys is fine.
Okay.
Also.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to actually
Tough
eat
crowd.
A lot of Five Guys when I lived in New York City for a while. Mm-hmm. But like right now, I feel like if I want a burger, I would probably go to like some like mom and poppy type place or just make it myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, like fast food life, yeah, as part of the lifestyle.
Yeah.
If you've never had In-N-Out, you should try it. But if your head doesn't explode, don't be shocked. It's fine.
The main thing is, I really need you to focus on the burger. Like, please, I don't want to hear nothing about the fries. I know that they're not good. People always be like, the fries are like flaccid dicks.
They're not good.
They don't have any erection to them. And sure, the sauce is the draw. You throw the sauce on top of everything.
Yeah, the animal style
thing.
And
you're eating
the
sauce.
I really was more focused on the burger
okay.
than the fries okay. itself. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is serviceable.
Yeah.
But, like, I was sitting with people who were, like, waiting to see the fireworks go off in my eyes.
Yes.
Like, you see Ratatouille?
Yes.
Like, when they were eating the cheese and, like, they were, like, waiting for me to explode. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, what are we doing after
this? Yeah. Anyways, moving forward. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll take that. Whew, that came in hot.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, that's not...
As a native.
That one clears the room when I say
I am cleared. I absolutely am cleared. Okay, we're going to move on. Song of the week.
Yes.
I have one that I'm really excited about this week.
Okay.
It is an artist by the name of Olivia Rodrigo. Okay.
A little known artist.
I don't
artist.
Know if you've ever heard of her.
You
know,
rings
she has
a
couple albums out, mm-hmm. you know, for the girls, for the young girls.
Yeah.
A song called Get Him Back off the new album, Guts. Fantastic song.
Yeah.
Everything that I've ever wanted in an album, she gave me. I deserved that.
That's cute.
Mm-hmm. In the 2020s, I deserved that.
Yeah.
I used to get it all the time when I was a kid, and they stopped serving us.
Mm.
And I'm happy that she's feeding the streets.
Yeah, I see that. I'm old. I didn't know that she was like a Disney kid
mm-hmm.
until like a couple weeks ago, honestly. But I remember Good For You and thinking that was like a really catchy, cute pop song.
Definitely.
I totally support her as someone who is apparently an enemy of Taylor Swift now.
Same.
So I fuck with that. I think she's a great songwriter. And I actually listened to her to this Guts album and was quite impressed.
Yeah.
I get being transported back to, like, being in junior high school, high school, or something like that, and just having that album you listen to on the bus. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, this is my life.
Yeah.
So that's
It's
cute.
Very much that.
Yeah.
It is 100% that. And I would like to just caveat the Taylor Swift thing. Taylor Swift is a topic that is often asked for me to do on this podcast.
Interesting.
And I have a hard time because I just, not a fan. Pretty anti. Pretty vehemently anti at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to keep this brief. But Olivia Rodrigo is a better songwriter than Taylor Swift. And I really want to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to, what is the song? Is it Vampire? No, Vampire. Driver's License, her first song.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being like, I'm going to make a love song because I'm 16 and whatever. She's like, I'm going to use this device. I am going to talk about getting my fucking driver's license. You were supposed to be here, but you're not here. And I'm heartbroken. I'm torn up over that. You know who could never do that? You know who never did that? And we'll leave it at that. And that's
I have no disagreement on
mm-hmm.
this. Man.
Yeah.
Bad idea, right? Fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic song.
It's a great song.
I just tripped and fell into his bed. What?
Fuck it. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I love
like,
her.
Like, I love it so yeah. much.
She's cute.
So
much. I really
yeah.
enjoy
Very cute.
Her.
Yeah. Very cute. Yeah. That's my song.
For me, I'm going to say... So this past week, I've been very angsty, if that's the word. It's a lot
mm-hmm.
of, like, Slipknot, like, System of a Down, Korn, like, I've been like,
this week.
Metal. But one of the songs, I'm going to do two.
Okay.
One of the songs I'm very obsessed with right now is Doechii's new song, Pacer.
Mm-hmm.
It
okay.
reminds me
I
a lot of her
it.
Single, Crazy. It's very, like, rock, very, like, lots of yelling and growling, and she's got, like, a very catchy, like, moshy type of hook to it, but then there's the rapping, the beat's great. I love that song, and she's one of the artists I'm very excited about these days.
She's special.
But then another song I've been listening to a lot over the past couple of weeks is a song called Broke by a young lady named Angel J. Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she's from Miami. Don't quote me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like she's this gorgeous young Black girl who has this cute melodic voice. And on this particular song, it just kind of like melds like... trap subject matter, just talking about broke niggas, okay, over like grunge rock, like a metally type of a beat. So it's fun because it's a rock song, but the hook is just like, I don't care if you a broke ass nigga. Like, it's like,
Okay, she said she don't want one.
Nigga.
Okay.
Like, and I'm just like, any rock song where I can also say,
say nigga, never heard it before. I want it. I want that. Yeah.
So I'm excited for her. Yeah, I want people to get into that record because it has a lot of potential.
What was her name?
Angel J. Nelson.
Angel J.
And the song
Nelson.
Is called Broke. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, she says she don't care if you broke, but she don't want no broke.
No, she didn't say she didn't care if you broke. I'm sorry, okay. Angel. I fucked the lyrics up. She says, I don't care if you say that I'm a bitch.
Oh.
Don't care about you because I don't want no broke nigga.
Period.
I'm pretty sure that's the hook. Sorry, Angel.
That sounds, yes, aligned.
That's better.
I like that, yeah. Because I was like, that's not sitting right in my spirit.
Yeah, no. I fucked it up.
My spirit, yeah. But okay, that's right. Okay, for sure. All right, we can get into Golden Girls. I like the shirt. First of all, if you're watching this on YouTube, this says Sex and the City, but it's the Golden Girls on the shirt.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely. Also, I want to know, what's the one-to-one with that? Like, the character in Sex and the City and the characters in a... Like, if you had to align them...
Yeah. So don't kill me because I'd be forgetting their names all the time. Carrie is probably Dorothy.
Okay.
A writer, very into words and stuff. Also the like sort of leader of the pack with not so great luck and love.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte, the ditzy one.
Mm-hmm.
Rose.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
You know, you've got Miss Samantha?
I think that sounds, yes. I know one of them is called Samantha.
The sluttier one?
Yes, Blanche.
That would be Blanche.
Naturally.
And then, I was going to say the gay one. She's not gay on the show. Or maybe she is not. I haven't really watched the sequel. She might be gay now. I don't know. But yeah, then you have my girl Sophia I forgot her name, the redhead.
Okay.
Because she usually has a lot of the quips. I really feel like that. A lot of shows with the four women.
Yeah.
You could do this.
Definitely. With. Absolutely.
You could do it with Insecure. Yeah. You could do it with Sex and the City. You could do it with Living Single.
Wait, that really is a trope that I never really thought about that much. Like the four female friend trope is like a real thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. That tracks. Let me explain what Golden Girls is, in case some of y'all don't know. This is straight from Wikipedia. I'm reading per usual. The Golden Girls is an American sitcom created by Susan Harris that aired on NBC from September 14th, 1985 to May 9th, 1992, with a total of 180 half-hour episodes spanning 7 seasons. The show features an ensemble cast, revolves around 4 older women, 3 widows, 1 divorcee, sharing a house in Miami. The owner of the house is a widow named Blanche Devereaux, who was joined by fellow widow Rose Nyland and divorcee Dorothy Zbornak.
Yep.
After they both responded to an ad on the bulletin board of a local grocery store a year before the start of the series. In the pilot episode, the three are joined by Dorothy's 80-year-old widowed mother, Sophia, after the retirement home she had been living in burned down. That's wild. Mm-hmm. Okay, when did you start watching Golden Girls?
Okay, so I technically started watching Golden Girls when it aired.
Okay.
As a child, when I was in elementary school or whatever the hell, a lot of the time, my maternal grandmother, she lived with us for a bit. She was helping my parents out with, you know, me and my brothers. And so one of the things that she would watch after she would pick me up from school is Golden Girls.
Naturally.
And I used to, like, I think as a child, I used to be like, fascinated with why she thought this show with these old white women was so fascinating and why it cracked her up so much. And thinking back at it now, she's probably going into those years of her life at the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the time, I just like, the only thing that really like resonated with me as a kid watching Golden Girls is the theme song and the part where Bea Arthur like bites her. If you watch the opening, there's a part from one of the episodes where Dorothy like bites her. She doesn't want to say something. I think her mama pissed her off. And she just like bites her knuckles like that. And I was always like, why is this like woman biting her hand? But watching it as a fan was college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you went back for it.
Yeah, yeah. One of my best friends in college, Alan, was obsessed with the Golden Girls. He had watched it as a fan his whole life. And he was like, no, you need to go back and watch the show.
Yeah.
So I went to a video place that, one of those like Sam Goody, one of those places that's not open anymore. Mm-hmm. And I bought the whole series and I have watched all 180 whatever episodes of that show.
Wow.
Multiple times. Literally every night since I was in college.
That's like your comfort show? Like what you go to sleep to type stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
I literally just took a break from it maybe a month or so ago. Because it's like, okay, girl, like, let me just like refresh so some of these jokes will hit again. Because I'm just reciting the episode word for word. I know it backwards and forwards. Yeah.
I love when you get into a comfort show like that and it's just soothing. I like reciting it word for word. Honestly, that's why I like to watch stuff by myself. I can't watch Golden Girls by myself. I need somebody else to laugh with me because I just started watching it a week ago. So I've been making my boyfriend watch it because I wanted to prepare for this episode, right?
Okay.
What a fucking treat. What a treat.
It's brilliant.
It's a magical show. The way that it holds up startles me. I was like,
it's tremendous.
I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. When did this come out?
Yeah.
1985.
Yeah.
It's 2023. I was like, I was waiting for something problematic, something whatever. And you know, like there's little stuff every now and again. Like a little stuff, you know, but I'm just like, damn, this holds up. Like these jokes are so relevant to today. It's scary. Why haven't we progressed more?
I don't know.
I don't like it.
We don't want to. I think people are just lazy, but that's, you know. But it's really beautiful how I think full and progressive that writer's room was.
I need to know. It feels like a primarily female writer's room. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it feels like that when I'm watching it.
Yeah. They covered so many topics throughout the entire series as well. Like, obviously, you're talking, you know, the show surrounds these women in a certain age of their life who are widowed or divorced and trying to find love, you know, so there's like sex and dating and stuff like that. But there's also, you know, much heavier topics like AIDS and HIV, which was super serious and a lot more prevalent of a topic at the time. Drug addiction, gambling addiction, they had race, like all kinds of stuff that the whole show covers really from beginning to end in ways that I thought, even still to this day, like, it's really impressive.
I agree.
And yeah, the Alzheimer's, homelessness, like they really went out of their way. Homosexuality. Blanche has a brother who's gay and they like go back and forth. It could have easily fallen into something where it's just like, you know, technically kind of violent or, counterproductive in a lot of those ways.
Yeah.
And they chose to be one of probably the only shows at the time that was like, let's think about this a different way.
Definitely.
And also, it's hilarious. It's like, it doesn't stand in the way of it being funny.
No.
Yeah.
At all. Speaking of the racism angle, what was it, like 2020, they took off the blackface episode?
I was pissed.
Okay, so, you know, naturally I had to go and watch it, right? Because I'm like, okay, like, from what I'm reading in this article, it doesn't sound like it could have been that bad. So it was even less bad than what was represented. It was funny. Right.
Yeah.
The episode is funny.
The joke that they removed that episode for was, the joke was that blackface is bad.
Right. It's like Rose being like, we're not really black people because they have
this is just mud
mask.
Right.
Yeah. Like, this is not blackface. Like, please understand.
Right.
This is not blackface.
The joke, I don't, yeah. Like,
what
but.
Is confusing. They just be jumping at anything.
I think that I chalk that up to Hollywood's refusal to actually, like, get in the weeds of these discussions and do the work. They'd much rather just be like,
I agree, yes.
That helps no one. But they put the fucking episode back because most fans were like, girl, you missed the point.
Put the shit back. Yeah, stop playing with us.
And it's one of my favorite episodes. Got the most black people in it.
100%. Yeah. It's so good. That was a really good episode. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. This is a slight tangent. This reminds me of, and let me know if you disagree because I don't know, Kim Kardashian.
Oh, God.
Where's this going? She dressed up as like Aaliyah a few years ago for Halloween.
I remember that.
And everybody was like, I don't know. She ended up apologizing. I didn't even see any response to it, but she ended up apologizing for it. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I also really dislike Kim Kardashian overall. I felt like there was so much that she needed to apologize for, but not that. Like, I'm like, baby, every time you put the cornrows in your hair, every time that you lie about having plastic surgery when little girls are having all this body dysmorphia and all this shit, and you don't apologize for none of that shit. You dress up as Aaliyah. You didn't do blackface. You didn't have no cornrows, nothing. You had a straight black wig. You wear that shit all the time. And you had on an outfit? Why are you apologizing?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the same.
They consistently miss the mark.
Miss.
They, you know?
You know, they. Absolutely. And I'm just like, it feels like the same thing. Any type of heat, blowback that's easy to apologize for, you're like, take it down, sweep it, whatever. You're not in the weeds. You're not quite understanding what we're talking about.
Thus, you're not preventing it from happening again.
And as we see, it keeps happening again and again. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Can you rank your favorite characters in order?
Oh.
For the four girlies.
Dorothy's my favorite. Okay. Flat out. She's always been my favorite from, like I said, she's the one I have the first memory of, her biting her head. But just her sarcasm, her wit, like her comebacks are fire. Like the only person who really could go toe-to-toe with her is her mama. That's probably why her mouth is so lethal in the first place. So I would say, honestly, Dorothy.
Yes.
Then I'm going to say Rose.
Okay. Wow.
And I'm going to say Rose is my favorite because she's like the mom or the grandma that you would want. Like, if you had to, if your grandma lived in that house,
definitely,
you would hopefully want it to be Rose.
Definitely.
She's going to have a ton of food made before you even get there. She's so sweet. She's so, like, kind. She goes out of her way for people.
Yeah.
You know, when she does say something dumb, it's really hilarious and usually kind of endearing. Sometimes it's like, oh my God, Rose, shut the fuck up. But the reason I would put her second is because you might have you definitely should notice this by now. When it comes to competition, Rose becomes a different person.
Okay, did see that.
When she's competing, and it could be for nothing. Yes. Like, it could be for money or it could be for a sticker.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like,
not a sticker,
competing, Rose gets lethal. Yeah. Like, and she will, like, she's actually had a couple of moments where she ate the girls up with some one-liners.
Yeah.
Where they don't really quite expect it from her.
Yeah.
And she'll just be like, so Rose is a little hidden threat.
Underrated.
She's a little silent killer. Then Sophia and then Blanche. And it's not no shade to Blanche.
I'm taking it back.
It's not. I love all of them.
Okay.
I love all of them. But like, Sophia, obviously, fucking hilarious. She always is saying the thing that nobody in the room is saying. She actually reminds me the most of my grandmother that introduced me to the show, because that's how my grandma is. And then I love Blanche because she's hilarious and shit like that, too. But Blanche has had moments in the show where I'd be like, why don't they just beat her ass? Mm-hmm. Like, she will just unsolicited, unwarranted, just say some mean shit.
Definitely.
Or like shady shit just for the purpose of making herself feel better.
Definitely. Like, she swears she finer than him and that she better than him.
There's one line in particular where she's like something about her being younger, and then she's like, I'm far younger than you and prettier. She's like, not that that has anything to do with it, but I just am. And she just would be like, she would shit on them all the time for no reason.
Yeah.
There's this episode in the last season where Dorothy wasn't, like, getting out. She was kind of, you know, at home feeling lonely. And so Blanche's like, come with me to my favorite bar. You know, whatever. And she goes to the bar to get to hit on all the guys and, like, feel like that girl, like that diva.
Yeah.
And then Dorothy ends up, she's very shy. She makes friends with the guy who plays the piano and she starts to sing. And the whole bar falls in love with her for her singing. And so then Blanche becomes a full-on hater and, like, makes a fool of herself because Dorothy started to get a little bit of attention at this bar. Like, I love Blanche because she's great.
Yeah.
All of the characters literally are flawless and have fantastic stories.
They do.
But if I had to order them, yeah. Blanche has just had way too many moments where she has been not a great friend.
That is super fair.
Yeah.
And in the show about friendship, I can definitely see Blanche as being the primary issue with regard to friendship in the show.
There have been moments where she's been a great friend.
Of course.
And been, you know, but there, she's usually the one where it's like, girl, what are you thinking?
Like, why would you say that out of your mouth right now?
You see season 2 where she got all of them arrested?
Yes, I did just see that. I looked up and I said, why are these old women behind bars? I'm confused.
Because Blanche is fast.
That's what it is. Okay, so if I had to order them, just, you know, based on my limited experience, I have Dorothy as my first because naturally I have Blanche as number 2.
Okay.
But let me explain. Okay.
Sure, I would love
Blanche is dedicated to the hoe phase. Okay. It's not a phase for her, it's a lifestyle.
Period.
And I would love for that to be me. It's not, I have a man. Mm-hmm. But if I did not, Blanche.
Absolutely.
Absolutely blanching it up. I appreciate that about her.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be a face. It could be your lifestyle.
She's not ashamed of it.
She's not. Nobody can tell her nothing.
And really, like, as the show progressed, they, again, for a show that came out in the 80s, they were very, like, pro-ho.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they made being a slut, like, fine.
They were.
They, you know.
It was kind of shocking. Like, again, I'm like, I wasn't expecting it. When I turned it on, I was shocked.
She literally has a line where they find out, I don't want to spoil things you made out of people.
Oh, no,
they
please.
Find out a, they find out a secret about Rose's past.
Okay.
And there's a moment where Blanche starts to feel like threatened by Rose having, you know,
oh, a little hoe.
Having you maybe had a hoe moment or something. And Blanche literally has a line where she says to herself, I'm the biggest slut. like defeated. And I love that.
I love that.
I love that. That's this show in the 90s was like, yeah, I'm the slut. The fuck?
That is that from so me. Funny.
Awesome. I love this show.
What a time. Wow. Yeah. What a time. There's also an episode that I watched where Dorothy's dating someone, or maybe it's Rose. I think it's Dorothy dating someone. And they come on to Blanche. And they have to, like, Blanche is trying to tell Dorothy. It is Dorothy.
It's
like,
Dorothy.
Yeah. She's trying to tell Dorothy, like, you know, your man did some slick shit while he was gone. And Dorothy's like, you're a slut. I don't know why that was so funny to me. In 1986, I was like, oh, slut been used for this long? Like,
they really didn't say it on TV. Like,
no. Yeah, so I'm like, slut. Wow, I thought there would be other word choices.
Mm-hmm.
In 85, but no, it was slut. And I like it because I still, you know, employ that word as well myself.
Yeah.
And not a derogatory sense, in the good sense. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Yeah. So who's your 3 and 4?
Oh, I forgot. Sophia and then Rose.
Okay.
Yeah. Personally.
Okay, so we just have Rose and
yeah, and just yeah. That switched a little bit. So I was going to say who's your least favorite, but it's hard to pick a least favorite. But yeah, Rose really is my least favorite.
They're all so great. My least favorite is Michael.
Fair.
Dorothy's
the son.
Dorothy's
son.
Yeah, I mean, Stan is the worst too.
Yeah.
But Michael?
Yeah.
Michael's Bornek is one of the worst people on the scene. He is so ungrateful. He's so spoiled. Mm. Every time he come over the house, he wants something.
Mm.
He's like, he's just such a dickhead.
I don't know how Dorothy raised that. As pop off at the mouth. I don't know how she came
because
up.
That's her little baby boy. She spoiled him.
Felt.
That's it.
Understood. I think the only time I've seen Michael is in the Mixed Blessings episode where he brings home the black girl who is old. And that's the issue. So I haven't seen him be a brat quite yet.
He'll be
yet,
back.
But I'm sure he'll come back.
He'll be back.
And act as the boys like to.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Which Golden Girl do you think you are?
Yeah, I definitely, I think I identify the most with Dorothy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I also love words. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely think I reside in the realm of sarcasm more often than not. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm also like fiercely loyal to my friends. And have like the worst luck with love out of all of them. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think I'm Dorothy with a smidge of Sophia.
Okay. Yes. I feel that. I also think I'm Dorothy, but primarily because Dorothy can't hold her facial expression. So anytime something like dumb is going on, it's going to be plastered all over her fucking face. And I'm really trying to work on it. I'll be trying to, you know, pull the facials together.
Yeah.
I'm not as quick to say something as Dorothy is. But you gonna know that I have a thought if I have a thought.
That is a good point.
Yeah. And I want to be Sophia. Sophia's just, she means what she says. Yeah. She say what she means. She be straight at your neck all the time. But I do want to be a little bit more of a Blanche at the end of the day. Just a little bit more shameless.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
That's the beauty of the character. It's not even just, because a lot of the men that she, you know, dated or slept with or stuff, you were off camera. She would be like just coming in from a date or going out to a date or something like that. There's the time where she is like, they're trying to get signatures, I think, for the tree that they wanted to save.
Yes, I saw that episode.
And Blanche comes in and she got one signature. And Dorothy is just like, you only got one signature. You've been out all this time, you only got one signature. And Blanche is like, give me some time to freshen up. I'll get you another one. Like, maybe she's just like, the beauty of her sluttiness, quote unquote, is that there was no shame in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not written for you to feel like she should be ashamed.
Absolutely.
She was just very free with her sexuality. And I thought that was, that really is something admirable for any age.
It is.
Yeah, like you said, if I'm in my 50s or whatever, 60s, and I'm single, girl, that's what I'm going to want.
100%. Also, I was shocked when I learned that these women were supposed to be in their 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt like mid-60s at the earliest.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if that's just because styles have changed. And so I'm looking at like these hairstyles, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is like an old person's hairstyle.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was thoroughly confused. I'm like, not these ladies supposed to be younger than my mama.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, this don't make no damn sense.
Right. That's the gag. I try not to think about that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not quite understanding.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to blink and be a golden girl.
Like, okay. I swear. Like, 50s is... I'm Isn't more than halfway there.
Yeah,
so. Oh no, I'm about to throw myself into an existential crisis right
here. Yeah, I try. Like,
please. Like, wow.
Yeah.
How creepy.
Well, that's the beauty of the show. It'll forever be relevant.
Mm-hmm. It really is super relevant. Oh my God. And I didn't know that all of them were gone. I knew Betty White, obviously, but like, in researching, I was really taken aback to find out that all of them are gone.
Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is, they passed. Like, back to back.
I saw.
Which was so scary.
Yeah.
I believe the first person to pass was Estelle.
That sounds right.
I think Estelle passed first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like the next year, I think it may have been B. And then the next year, I think it was Rue. And so, like, me and my best friend... My same best friend that, like, obsessed over Golden Girls, that next year, we're just like, God,
please no.
Please, just hold on to her. But, you know, Miss Betty White held on for
she held
a
the
good
hell on.
Amount of time. And she's the oldest.
That's wild. Also, everything about it is wild. Crazy. She looked good.
Mm-hmm.
She did look good. And she looked good the whole time because she looked that age.
Yeah.
At 99 the entire time.
Yeah. But there was a lot of, even Bea Arthur was older than Estelle Getty.
Which is wild.
Yeah, they put makeup
Estelle's
on her.
Estelle's the one to play Sophia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and Bea's the one to play older. Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
God. Mm. Yeah, they was playing. I don't know. The
TV
age stuff,
magic,
Golden Girls.
Child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. But I really like the way that they portrayed friendship on Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, who doesn't love friendship? But I really love friendship. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm a friendship girly, like, for real. I'd be like, no, I love you guys to pieces.
Yeah.
And they seem to have that bond going on. And I find, at least from what I observe of folks within that age group, friendship doesn't seem to be their focal point right now.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like the millennial generation and younger is starting to put emphasis on friendship as well as romantic relationships.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to me. And so it's really heartening to see that taking place in 1985 with this group of middle-aged women too. I'm like, so I can have this deep, deep romantic platonic friendship.
Yeah.
Later on too.
Even when one of them like found a man and was like, you know, I'm gonna leave or whatever. She was like, you guys can come move with me. Like, they never wanted to separate.
That. Yeah, that was in the last season, right?
Yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah. I saw that, but, and I was like,
I think there was a moment where Blanche was like nearly getting married or something. And
yeah.
She was thinking about moving. And she was like, well, you guys could just move in with me. And Rose was all about it. Like, yeah. And Dorothy was like, bitch, what the fuck? I look like moving into another house with you. I'm old. Like, but they always wanted to stay together.
Yeah.
The last episode is like, I cry every single time I watch it because of that theme of friendship and how they like tie it together and the funniness of them hugging constantly and shit. Yeah. It is definitely like a good friendship show, but you make a good point of like, it, I guess by virtue of them all living in the house together,
yeah,
that kind of helped it, but
definitely,
yeah, older folks, yo, go out with your friends,
you know what I mean? Like, link up with your friends, maybe, you know, get roommates if y'all, you know, I know a couple people are widows and divorcees, you know,
why not
live together? I really do want to live in a compound with my friends, like. With our partners or not, like, whatever works. I just moved out of my old apartment with a girl who I lived with for 10 years. She's, like, a sister to me. Oh. Shout out, Tommy. Love you so much. And when I was moving to move in with my boyfriend, I was like, I mean, we could just... You know what I mean? So I definitely understand the Golden Girls in that. Because why would I leave my favorite person just for another favorite person? You know, we could just...
Yeah. I'm a Jamaican American youngster, and Jamaicans are very that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's live in the house. You know, like,
yes.
Literally, when I was born, I lived with my parents in my paternal grandmother's home. And then when my parents got their own home, it literally, to this day, One block over.
I love that.
My whole life, my grandma lived a block over. If I stood on my roof, I could see her house. And then now, my other grandmother moved into the house right next door.
I'm obsessed.
Like, everybody lives. My mom's best friend lived down the street. Everybody is just like...
Because community.
Why not live next door? If I need some sugar, if somebody's trying to kill me...
Run up the street. You right there.
I'm with it.
You're not going to get me, baby.
Yeah.
Okay? What is it? If you big, then we jumping you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. We don't shoot fair ones around
here.
Yeah. That's a really good one. Okay, I have a one gotta go for you that I think is going to be hard for you. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. You let me know. If you had to get rid of one of these shows, you could never watch it again in your life.
Okay.
Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Martin. Daria. Which one are you killing?
I'm going to throw Daria out the window. And it's really... It's really not even close.
Damn.
And I love Daria. Oh, yeah. My Instagram icon is a version of Daria. Mm-hmm. I'm upset. Like, I love that show. It's another show I actually got into later. Like, I started watching it in college also. Mm-hmm. And it was because I think I randomly had an interest in checking it out. Mm-hmm. And I told my friends, oh, I'm gonna check out Daria. I've never seen it. And my friends were like, you've never seen a show about you? Oh. Like,
not
you're Daria. Have you never seen a show before? They were right. But yeah, just obviously Golden Girls is like my comfort show, my go-to-sleep show. Mm-hmm. And Martin is also just too ingrained into who I am.
It's so fucking funny.
As a comedian, as a Black millennial, that's not one I could just not watch again over Daria. I'm sorry.
Damn, so Daria not hitting enough.
Nah, I love it. And you know what? Hopefully we'll still get that that show.
Was it live action?
I think it's supposed to be animated. Okay, Tracee Ellis Ross is doing. Mm-hmm. I hope that we'll get that. Who knows? You might get like a Daria cameo or some shit like mm-hmm. that in this new adult world that Jodie's living in.
That would be great. Oh my God, I forgot that it's supposed to be starring Jodie. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited about that.
They better put fire underneath that goddamn show. I want to see it.
I really need it. Like, Tracee, please.
Yeah, it's been in production
please
for a
make
while.
Sure. Yeah, I need that. And I wonder who they're going to cast as Jodie.
She is. Like Tracee. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's animated. Duh. Yeah, okay. She's going to voice Jodie. Yeah.
Jodie, yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
I really want to see it. So that could be my little replacement if I'm throwing Daria out the window.
Right. You'll be good with Jodie.
Not clearing Martin or Golden Girls.
Them got to go. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair. Now, can we talk about the Miami of it all? Because the show is set in Miami. You are from Miami. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I haven't seen too much take place externally in the show. Like, I haven't really seen too many external shots, anything of the sort. Does it feel Miami to you?
No.
It doesn't. It just feels like inside, in home.
I mean, there's like a vibe that it kind of evokes with some of the design and stuff. And there are definitely like a couple of references and lines and stuff, then, you know, they talk about maybe Collins Avenue they'll mention places like that. But obviously it wasn't shot there, and a lot of the stuff that you see doesn't really remind me of anything Miami-like.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really feel like Miami to me, but I did like to have fun when I, you know, went back and started watching it in college, imagining what part of Miami they would have lived in.
Yeah.
And I would guess it's like Old Cutler. Okay. For that, that means nothing to you, but like a kind of like a ducked out sort of old money section of South Miami.
Got it.
Would be my guess. Or Coconut Grove.
Okay. It gave Orlando to me.
That's fair.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, yeah. I'd imagine older folks who are retiring and, you know, go to Orlando. And so I was shocked when they kept being like, you know, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked when they kept being like, Miami. I'm like, oh.
Wrote a whole song about it.
You know? Like, this is so interesting. Mm-hmm. Ooh, speaking of songs, okay. I looked up a list of, like, the best theme songs on television in general.
Yeah.
Golden Girls, I think, was number 38 on that list. Is that way too, like,
that
far
is
away from number one?
Low. I thought you might even like 8.
No.
11.
No.
Okay, so who do they
Let
feature?
Let me see.
MASH, what is it? Like,
they did have stuff like that on there. It was the Andy Griffin Show, I think, was number one. Like, duh. Best TV show theme songs of all time. They had a bunch of stuff on here that was a surprise, but I was surprised that Golden Girls was only number 38. Like, especially the remix that we now have from
our now gospel.
Yeah, our gospel remix of it. I'm like,
that's not surprising.
It goes so well.
That's, we do that shit.
It makes so much, of course. Yeah. Of course, anything.
That's shocking. But yeah, 38.
Yeah. They got WandaVision on here. Three's Company
at
number—
WandaVision ain't got no damn—
Like, what are they talking about? Any jingle before the damn shit starts? Like, okay.
I was literally just about to say, I bet it's like Law and Order or some shit that ain't got no goddamn singing or nothing.
Oh, did they have Law and Order on here?
Or like...
That would make sense.
Sopranos theme or something.
Like they did have stuff like that. Three's Company is number 98, and that pissed me off, honestly, because I feel like that's a great
name. 98?
Egregious, right? I'm like, no.
This person's a liar.
Like, you're fucking lying. Stop playing with me.
That's one of the most recognizable people who've never seen that show. No,
that Life is a Ball Again. Laughter is Calling for You down at our rendezvous.
That's weird. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. New Girl, number 94. What? That's barely a theme song. I'm like, that's cute, but like.
So you put New Girl at 94?
Yeah.
Three's. The person or persons.
Rolling Stone.
That, they just wanted to anger people.
Mm-hmm. That's, of course. Yeah. That's generally the anger. Number 92 is all that. I'm going to leave it at that. Leave it at that because that pissed me off too.
This person, they should be in jail.
That's wrong. Jail. Prison.
Jail and jail. And like, prison and jail.
Several. Yeah. This shit just not making no sense to me.
Like, that is crazy.
But yeah, that theme song. Wow. Golden Girls theme song just lifts my spirits immediately.
Again, it's about friendship.
It's about friendship. Yeah. And I love friendship.
It's a song about being a friend. But it's also one of the pettiest songs ever written.
So fucking funny. That is such a good point. It absolutely is so fucking petty.
It's beautiful in its performance, in its composition, and subject matter.
Yeah.
But she's also like, I'm the type of friend that if you threw a party and invited every single person, not just all your friends, everybody that you know.
No.
You would see that the biggest gift would be from me. Mind you, everybody you know is in this bitch. Everybody. Your mama, your daddy, your cousin.
Right. Don't matter.
Your kids. Your grandma. Everybody you know is in this bitch. The biggest gift in this motherfucker, I got it.
Yep.
Plus, there's a card attached to it that says, thank you for being a friend.
Period.
To me.
Absolutely.
That is so petty.
Yeah. No, it really is.
I care about you more than your mama.
Yep. Not all of your friends. You invited everyone.
Everyone that you know. Like, none of them bitches could compare to the type of friend that I am.
I don't care who you know.
That is sickening.
I don't care who you invite.
We don't talk about that aspect of the song enough.
Yeah.
But it has always resonated with me. Like, this motherfucker wrote, no, but like, of everyone you have met in your life.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
Them the friends I like.
Yeah,
that's the type of friendship I like. Absolutely. Be petty like that.
Yes.
Let them know.
Yes.
Let them know
what we
have.
That is what friendship is about.
Let them know what we are about.
Yes.
Okay? It's not a joke over here. It's very fucking serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else about Golden Girls. Do you have anything that you would like to say that...
I would just say that, you know, I'm someone who has always obsessed with sitcoms, like, not just the Golden Girls, not just Martin. I grew up watching all that. My brother and me, the Parkers, Moesha. You know, I mostly, you know, black sitcoms, but I got into, you know, some of the other girls every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched Gilmore.
You
know? But yeah, I would just say if you've never watched the Golden Girls, give it a chance. You pick an episode. You don't even have to start from the beginning.
You really don't.
You could just pick one. The dynamics of the characters are pretty straightforward right away, so you won't be super confused. A lot of the episodes are pretty standalone, so you don't lean, like, you could just dive in. Although, I think the first two seasons might be the best.
Honestly, yes.
Season two is just stellar.
Honestly, like, absolutely.
Season two is fantastic.
If you're confused about where to dive in, Hulu has Hulu has like a section that's like a short binge where they lay out just like a few episodes, something like 12, 14 episodes you can watch. And that's a good place to start. I definitely started there and then I went back and watched a little bit more of the last season, a little bit more of the first season. And yeah, that first season really ate. I started to get into the second season. I was like, yeah, this really ate. And when I jumped to season seven, it was... You know, it was obviously still great, but, like, I don't know.
They had been doing it for a long time at that point. And I think that, like, comedy in the sitcom space changed a lot from the mid-80s to the 90s. Yeah. Yeah, like, by that time, Family Matters is on, Full House is on, Step by Step. Like, all of those things are... So, like, the sort of, like... multicam sitcom dynamic changed a bit, and I feel like Golden Girls changed with it.
Yeah,
but it still did have some zingers in those last two seasons that were like, oh yeah, these are same girls. Yep, absolutely. But my favorite seasons are probably seasons 2 and 4.
Okay.
So I would say, but like, I jump into literally any one of them. I can't tell you how many people I know who are like, I watched the Golden Girls for the first. I just thought it was just, you know, show about some old white girls, but it's fucking hilarious.
Same.
It's very, very funny.
Like, I grew up watching a lot of sitcoms too, like you mentioned, and I watched lots of the white ones, obviously lots, all the black ones damn near. Golden Girls is different. It's funnier. It's simply funnier, which it's, confuses the fuck out of me. It holds up in 2023. It's funnier.
It knows what it is. It knows what it is trying to say.
Yeah.
And it just does it. So expertly. It's the reason why people still stand it to this day and watch it. And like I said, it'll be forever relevant. Because when you're a young person, like I was in my early 20s being introduced to it, I got it and thought it was hilarious. And I imagine if God allows me to become Sophia Petrillo's age, I'll be like, it's even funnier now because I'm living this. My fucking nursing home also burned.
That's wild. So like, also, how y'all letting nursing homes burn down with old people in it?
It was her fault.
Don't be, she burned it.
Go back room.
Oh.
There's a, well, it wasn't. There's an episode about it.
Okay.
There's more to the story.
Okay.
Than what Sophia that feels on brand. Yes.
I definitely could believe that.
It
okay.
Might be season 6 that they do that. She almost went to jail because of that.
Wow. She
but
said,
I think
I
Sophia
don't
almost
like
went
it.
To jail a couple times.
She said it felt like jail. That makes sense because I remember in the first episode, she was like, yeah, they got me in this nursing home. It's not fun. It feels like jail. She hated it. She burned that shit down. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Yes. I told you I didn't want to be here and you put me here anyway. So now everybody's going to pay for that.
Gotta watch that.
My favorite sitcom when I was young of the white variety was Roseanne. And I felt like Roseanne was so well written.
It really was.
And so fucking funny. And Golden Girls is really equally as funny to me, which is shocking because I've been watching Roseanne since I was 7 or something.
Yeah.
And to turn on this show that I've never laid my eyes on and for it to be equally as funny, I was enamored just immediately. I'm like, wow, Golden Girls is really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roseanne was one that I felt like I would... Sometimes it would be late and it would come on.
Yes.
And like if I was... I'd just like sneak and still be up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like catch a couple episodes of it and I thought it was like... I did think that it was also a show, even as a young person, that was hilarious. And like because of the writing.
Yeah, the writing was really good. Yeah.
And I will never forget to this day, like, yes, Roseanne went off the deep end.
Lost
and she's
her
a mess and all that stuff.
Goddamn, yeah.
But there is one, the episode where their son didn't want to kiss that black girl. Who
yes.
Was her, him,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And the like difference between the two people, because it was like the show is about white trash.
Yes.
And it wears that on its sleeve.
Yes.
But that line where Roseanne says to her son, black people are just as good as us. And anybody who doesn't think so is a bunch of banjo-picking, cousin-dating, like, embarrassments to respectable
white trash
like us.
Period.
I, like, when I first heard that line, I was like, this show can have it. Like, in the same breath as you say, you're saying, black people deserve just the same amount of rights and respect as everybody else. And if you don't think so, you are disrespecting white trash like us.
Like us.
That actually go out in the world and act like we got some sense.
So much packed in there.
Like,
so much packed in there!
White trash and making it a joke is delicious.
Ate it up. Said, I'm nothing like you bitches.
Yeah.
I don't know what y'all on. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, it's a shame how the story ended. But at the time...
Damn.
And also a great intro.
Yeah.
No lyrics, but also a great
because
classic.
Because busting out the banjo, I don't even know what.
It was like a body roll-y kind of, I think it was like a saxophone.
Dun, 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 dun.
It was just all it was just like a vibey theme song. Yeah.
That one was a good one. Yeah. Theme songs mean a lot to me too. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want them back.
Really bad. Really bad. Actually, I've been talking about this all over the place. I'm like, please, why aren't we investing in a theme song? Do you know that will keep somebody like having that on their screen? Mm-hmm. You give me a good theme song, I'll give you the first episode of the show.
Because, I mean, these networks are commissioning AI to build them a minute and a half long intros anyway. The intro to Game of Thrones is about 5 minutes long.
Anton.
So why can't we just, have theme songs? Mm-mm.
Just give us a theme song back, please.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of Black people like Golden Girls.
Yeah, it
feels like just as I look on Twitter, look through stuff, Black people are like, I don't know why. But them girlies, they got it for us. Mm-hmm. Do you have any theories as to why Black people in particular resonate with these four white ladies?
Because I think that in for, you know, all the white of it.
Yeah.
There's just so much relatability.
There is.
In those characters. And like I said, a lot of us probably have parents or grandparents that watched it when we were young and adored it because it's like, yeah, my kids don't call enough. And when they do, they are fucking ungrateful. Or yes, I am divorced and I can't stand my damn husband. He ain't shit. Or my husband passed and I miss him. Yeah. Or like, yes, I have that homegirl who like still be drinking in her 60s and I have to cuss her out because she be trying to be fat. Like, they're white. But you know something else? Dorothy and Sophia are Italian. And those are Black as white people walking around the earth. So that might also have
absolutely
something to do with
that. Yeah.
The whole nature of family and how fiercely they like defend each other and shit like that. That might also be an aspect I didn't consider, but
I definitely feel that.
So much of it is very relatable, the family and friend aspect of it, especially. Yeah.
It really is. I definitely get that. Wait, yes, I forgot that Sophia and Dorothy are Italian. Mm-hmm. And then Blanche is Southern. I'm not positive they ever say where she's from.
Georgia.
She's just from And then I don't know what the hell was going on with Rose. Where is she from?
Rose is from Minnesota.
Okay, that tracks.
She's from a place called St. Olaf, which is not a real place. But if you watch the show, every time they reference it, it's like some crazy story about the weirdest town where everybody is dumb.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like, she's from a dumb town. That's
she's
why.
From like a town full of
she's
dumb
like
people.
That. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes she do be getting on my
nerves. And she's like Swedish, I guess, or whatever. They reference her like Swedish heritage a lot.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always wonder why Black people liked so much, but upon watching it, I'm like, yes, this checks. This feels familiar. Like,
yes.
I definitely see my mom and Dorothy specifically.
Yeah.
My mom got a mouth. Dorothy be quick with it. And so, yeah.
And it's hilarious.
It's really fucking funny.
Yes.
Thank you for introducing me to Golden Girls, because I wouldn't have known anything about it for real.
I'm glad anyone has that to say to me.
Mm-hmm. They need to put you on payroll.
Watch it.
They need
yes,
to.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Or just let me go to the museum or something.
Whatever it takes. Okay. Well, that's it. Thank you so much for coming on, Kipiri.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad that I got to come.
It was like so great having you. Like, I'm very excited about this. I can't wait for people to hear it. I was gonna say let people know what you have coming up, but if you don't want
yeah,
to.
You know, man, we do a podcast every week called The Read.
You might
It's about as old as Sophia Petrillo. And you can find it where you listen to podcasts and stuff. Follow us at This Is The Read on Instagram. I think Twitter is the same name. And look out for fun stuff to come.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you.
That's wild.
It's crazy.
That is wild.
Every week.
First of all, my show comes out every other week because I can't fucking manage it. I don't know how the hell y'all be doing it.
I don't either.
But congratulations on that for 10 fucking years straight.
Yeah.
It seems very fun. You can definitely get the vibe when you're listening.
It's just crazy to think of how much we have talked about who the fuck knows what for so long.
I swear. Sometimes people like tweet me like, oh, you said blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, when did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
I've deleted episodes because some that people told me
I'm
that I said
that.
I'm like,
listen.
I don't remember saying that. I do feel that way, but I didn't want y'all to know that I felt that way. So, so
I give it to God at this point.
Right.
I'm letting it go.
I
haven't said a lot.
Per usual, you can find me at BPLPpod across Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And you can email me at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com with episode recommendations, hate mail, feedback, or anything else. Okay. Bye, y'all.
Bye.